KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy, windy, and 36 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to become partly cloudy today with a high around 40. Winds northwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In local news, the Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening paid tribute to the 2018 All-State Music students along with the speech and debate team. Three Atlantic High School vocal and one instrumental student were selected for the All-State Music Festival held on November 17th. All-State Music students attending the council meeting, including vocalists Sarah Shirley, Avery Anderson, and Genevieve Martinez. Shirley explained that they practiced from August all the way through the end of October before they auditioned on October 20th and against 62 competing schools and more than 2,000 students.
We audition as members of a group, also audition solo, so the option of solo, duet, trio, or quartet. In our case, we were actually quartet. Our tenor didn't make it, but the three of us did. It's all judges' opinion, and they just pick you to be a member of the choir, and then we performed with the choir in Ames in November.
Lex Summers was also chosen for instrumental. Aaron Barrick was recalled for instrumental, and Chris Krogh was recalled for vocal. Shirley and Troy Roach appeared before the council on behalf of the speech and debate team, which have been practicing for the week-long competition since the beginning of the year.
We practice all year round. I've been practicing my current piece for this current season since August time, and we have what we call a national qualifier in February. And if you are within the top two or three, depending on the number of entrants in that category, you are selected to go to the national competition. This past year, it was held in Fort Lauderdale. Troy was in World Schools, and I was in Program Oral Interpretation.
Troy Rhodes explained he was nominated for the position.
The nomination process was determined by our district, and so my coach nominated me, and I happened to get picked.
Shirley explained in more detail how that selection process worked.
Everybody competes, and then they narrow it down. So in his second event that he took after being eliminated from his first event, he was one away from breaking to the top 60, I believe, in that event. So that's a great honor to have. It's just a great competition. This was my second year going. He was a freshman, so that was his first year. And we hope to make it again this year. Obviously, we'll just have to find out.
Mayor Dave Jones said many times young people get a bad rep or reputation, but they rarely get recognized when they make an effort and succeed in their activities. He thanked the students in attendance Wednesday night and the many other students recognized by the council over the past few months for their hard work and for being an excellent representative of the city of Atlantic at various events. In other business, the mayor wished citizens a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He also recognized those who quickly responded to repair the building at 5th and Chestnut Street after a partial brick exterior wall collapsed Sunday night. Jones said that 5th Street will be open east of Chestnut at the latest Monday morning, but possibly as early as tomorrow morning, or tomorrow afternoon, that is. And when the work is finished, parking in the sidewalk on the north side of the building will be prohibited until spring, when the weather will make for additional work feasible. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds and Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg made scheduled stops around southwest Iowa on Tuesday. The governor covered a wide array of topics in her meeting with the Tyler family, owners of the Coke plant, and other local dignitaries. She said she will deliver her condition of the state address in front of the legislature on January 15th, where she will lay out the program her administration wants to see move forward. One of the things she and the legislature will tackle is the availability and quality of Iowa's workforce.
It's workforce, 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 and every time I get in front of, I don't care, small, medium, large business, they're all looking for the same thing. And so we've got the foundation in place with the Future Ready Iowa initiative. We put a little bit of funding for fiscal year 19 to kind of get it started, work-based learning to get into high schools, kind of start to scale some of the things that are working. But now we need to really put additional funding into the program so we can scale and use the last dollar scholars, the apprenticeship programs, the certification programs that we've talked about and that are laid out in the initiative that we passed last year.
She will also speak during her condition of the state message about the Empower Rural Iowa initiative. Reynolds established the threefold initiative by executive order in July.
It's really important that our communities all across the state are vibrant and growing. We don't want to see that just in pockets. We want to make sure that we're working with communities. Three areas that we asked him to look at initially was invest, grow, and connect. Connectivity, you know, so we can't grow and we can't keep young people in our small communities if they can't get on the phone and utilize it in the manner that they're accustomed to.
As part of her plan to grow rural Iowa, Reynolds said investing in Rural Iowa Task Force, the Growing Rural Iowa Task Force, and the Connecting Rural Iowa Task Force held idea summits in 6 rural locations around Iowa, and during those meetings they took into consideration ideas submitted by task force members and the public. Representative Tom Shipley from Nottoway reminded the governor that part of the plan for growing rural Iowa should not include moving the Iowa DOT District 4 office from Atlantic to Council Bluffs. Several meetings have already been held on the matter, and several letters have been sent from various area governmental groups to the legislature and governor against a long-range proposal to move the associated engineering jobs to Council Bluffs. Shipley and Atlantic Coca-Cola Bottling Executive Chairman Jim Tyler left no doubt on what their position is.
I won't ever think that it's a good idea to ever take something out of one community, a smaller community, and move it to a bigger one. I will never, ever go along with that. So
it might not be important in Des Moines, but it's damn important in Atlantic, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's important in Union County and Adams County and Ringgold County. All those counties have all got a hold of it because of the distance that they would require them because of the change.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we'll take a look at it.
And Reynolds said the legislature needs to figure out how to sustain comprehensive mental health care reform that was passed last year and the establishment of the children's mental health system. She said also they will endeavor to get the SSA, or school supplemental assistance, rates set within the first 30 days. Districts factor in state aid when they're trying to determine their budgets each year. Reynolds said the issue won't be kicked down the road as a bargaining tool, as it has been in years past, causing districts to be in a budget crisis. Elsewhere in the news, Creston police report a woman from Creston was arrested early this morning at the Union County Law Enforcement Center. 36-year-old Candace Russell was taken into custody at around 1:35 a.m. for OWI's second offense. She was being held in the Adams County Jail for Union County on a $2,000 bond. The Harlan Police Department on Tuesday issued a report on recent arrests. Most recently, they said on Monday, 63-year-old Gary Lynn McCoy of Harlan was arrested for making false reports to police, interference with official acts, and disorderly conduct. Last Saturday, 66-year-old Larry Stephen Mirror of Harlan was arrested for public intoxication and disorderly conduct, and 23-year-old Dakota J. Grody of Harlan was cited for disorderly conduct stemming from the same incident. Last Thursday, 38-year-old Suzanne K. Labasita of Council Bluffs was arrested on an active warrant for following a traffic stop in Harlan. Labasita was transported to the Shelby County Jail. On December 12th, 37-year-old Galen McKenzie Hutz of Harlan was taken into custody following an investigation, and she was taken into custody for the charge of sexual abuse in the second degree. Also on December 11th, 46-year-old Larry Monroe Lang of Harlan was arrested for trespassing and public intoxication. And the Page County Sheriff's Office reports 2 people were injured December 13th during a collision on Highway 2 just east of O Avenue. Authorities said this week 82-year-old David Eugene Anderson of Clarinda was driving a 1989 Chevy Caprice eastbound on the highway when he fell asleep at the wheel and crossed into the westbound lane a little after 3 p.m. Anderson's car hit a 2006 Ford van driven by 34-year-old Tanya Marie Bolton of Council Bluffs as she was traveling westbound on Highway 2. Bolton and Anderson were transported to the Clarinda Regional Medical Center by Clarinda Ambulance Service for treatment of undisclosed injuries. Anderson was cited for failure to maintain control. Damage to the vehicles amounted to $5,000. The Page County Sheriff's Office also issued a report this week on a single vehicle accident that took place late Saturday night about 2 miles south of Shenandoah in Fremont County. Authorities say 39-year-old Melissa Marie Dinges of Shenandoah was driving a 2010 GMC SUV northbound on Highway 59 when the SUV struck a deer on the road. The impact caused the vehicle's airbags to deploy. Dinges complained of pain but refused transport to the hospital. No citations were issued. Her vehicle sustained an estimated $4,000 damage. And you're invited to join Cass County Conservation staff at the Shulberg Recreation Area, Lake No. 4, on Saturday, January 5th, for the annual soiree with the swans. Conservation staff will be giving 10-minute presentations regarding the trumpeter swans every half hour, beginning at 11 a.m. on that date, with the last one being presented at 2 p.m. There will also be a time to view the swans through spotting scopes and witness random swan feeding sessions. Hot chocolate, cookies, grilled hot dogs, and other snacks will be provided free of charge, with the donations being accepted for swan care. The Shulberg Recreation Area is located on the northwest edge of Atlantic, and Lake No. 4 is on the north side of Highway 83. If the weather is bad or the swans are not at the park on January 5th, the program will be held at the Atlantic Public Library from noon until 1 p.m. that day with a light lunch available. The event is sponsored by the Cass County Conservation Board, Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, and the Atlantic Public Library. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.